once again, everybody, and welcome to the Mario Cristobal Show. Joe Sakacki alongside Don Bailey Jr. and, of course, University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. Year number 4 for the Coach Cristobal Show. Man, time is flying by. Miami and Notre Dame on Sunday. Before we dive into Notre Dame, first thing is this. Wear orange. The request is to wear orange on Sunday. It's an orange out for the University of Miami, so gather all of your orange and be loud as well for the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. We'll get into that matchup in just a little bit. Coach, thanks for being with us. As always, great to see you. Training camp has transitioned into game prep, but before we get into game prep, what was the best part of training camp for you?
The competition. You know, guys taking ownership and finding a way to come to practice every single day with purpose and just flat out compete.
Coach, camp is also a time where you identify your leaders. Who have you identified as some of the leaders of this football team, and how did they impress you in camp?
I think some guys are still emerging, but initially I'll say Akeem Mesidor, Ruben Bain, Inez Cooper, Francis Mainoa, Wes Besaint, Mo Touré, Mark Fletcher, to name a couple. Those guys, and of course Carson Beck, in a short amount of time, also an excellent leader.
People talk about culture. You've been building culture here for 4 years. That's probably not something that just starts in training camp, right? That probably went all the way back to January, February, March, April. But the identity of your team, how do you see it? Do you like where it's trending?
We like it. We're confident in it. It gets stronger and stronger every single day. And like you said, it started in January, right? This was the winter conditioning workouts, a fourth quarter program, spring football, OTA, summer, right? And then right into fall camp. And every step of the way, our guys seem to get better and better at establishing higher standards and implementing culture.
Big picture development, I think there's no better person to identify than Inez Cooper. I mean, your first year you came in and signed him. He's from small town Alabama and was over 400 pounds as a defensive lineman in high school. And now he's 320, 325 and playing at the top of his game.
Yeah, certainly a great story and an awesome family, awesome high school coaching staff as well. And then again, Inez is all about that heart right there. He has got every ounce of every bit of his heart and soul into his craft on a daily basis, and he pours into his teammates as well. Mm-hmm. He's not just an individual performer. He is a great, great teammate.
Coach, Carson Beck, he comes into this program. I find some of his numbers very interesting to me. He found a way. He was a winner at Georgia, 24-3 in 27 games. That's playing winning football. 3-1 or more touchdown to interception ratio. He'll go into this game on Sunday with almost 8,000 career passing yards. Maybe let's discuss some of the things that he has brought into the program for you.
Well, just that experience in big games, understanding concepts, understanding coverages, understanding the check system, right? Putting us ourselves in a play that's advantageous to us. And even just as importantly, maybe more importantly, getting us out of bad plays. And sometimes just getting rid of the football when it's not there, when there's nothing to be had except a negative play. So I think when you combine all that plus the approach to the game, right, preparation on a daily basis, that right there is key for you got some older receivers that have a good process, and you have some younger ones and some younger quarterbacks that have really benefited from learning from Carson's process of preparation.
Another quarterback that's been impressive all camp is Emery Williams, Coach. He looks like a new man. I mean, physically, every way he moves in the around the pocket, everything he's doing, he just looks like he's made huge steps.
He really has. You know, I think it would have been easy to just, you know, not put forth the effort and forge forward. And I think when he took a deep, you know, dive into himself and realized, you know what, last year's approach cannot be this year's approach. All right, I have an opportunity to get better and actually compete for the spot. And if I don't, I want to land as close to that spot as possible. And he has been excellent. And his teammates have taken big time notice of it. So we expect a great year out of him as well.
Coach, the other thing about him, he's graduated, right? Two and a half years. I don't think that's ever happened at the University of Miami. I believe it was him and Sampson were the two players that jumped ahead and got it done in 2.5 years. That's one heck of an accomplishment.
Yeah, it took you and I double that time, you know, but, you know, new class schedules, right, clipping out of college credits and then just a ton of hard work. Those guys deserve all the credit.
You talked about identity earlier, and we're on offense right now. Shannon Dawson in his third year with you, is it easier to create that identity on offense with the continuity of Coach Dawson. And a lot of the players also came in with him. Obviously, the new guy in is Carson Beck, but the identity that he is putting into the University of Miami on offense.
Well, I think, it relates to defense. I don't know if you didn't ask that part yet, but with Dawson's arrival, you also had the trench coach in place, Alex Mirabal. Right. With Heatherman's arrival, you have Jason Taylor mm-hmm. in place as well. So there's a bit of a foundation there that you could build off of. And Shannon Dawson, he continues to evolve. You know, our deep dive into self-scouting ourselves, our systems, our, you name it, every adjustment, formation, our tendencies, it's so extensive that we want to stay on the cutting edge and refuse to have people get a beat on us. And if they do, we have a way to go to something else where we can be more effective, more productive. So he's a consummate professional, an awesome human being. He's surrounded by a supporting cast. That's awesome, man. Those guys get after it. They work hard, and they want to do right by the University of Miami.
Coach, you lost a lot of production in the receiver room, but you return and have infused a lot of talent. Tell us about that group.
No, without a doubt, those guys, they understand that this system, if you run it the right way, if you're at where you're supposed to be at, the ball is going to find you, okay? Now, that being said, you better block to earn that rock as well. And the combination of some of the older guys, you know, like C.J. Daniels and Keelan Marion, Tony Johnson, they blended really, really well with some of the guys that we've had returning, like Ray Ray, JoJo. Those guys have done really well. And then you have some of the new guys that have come in as well. Malachi, Tony, Josh Moore, Dalen Upshaw, Chance Robinson is finally healthy, has looked really good out there. Nai Carr is doing some really good things. It's a great blend of older and younger guys, all talented, and they're under the same understanding. You got to work your tail off. You got to work your tail off, and you got to perform, and we're going to make each other better by competing.
I think this is where Coach Cristobal, the general manager, has really zeroed in on the University of Miami, because 5 years ago, whatever it was, you would lose guys out of the receivers, such as Restrepo or George, and the drop-off would be from senior to freshman. And that's hard. Now, guys leave, and you bring in a Marion and a Johnson and a C.J. Daniels, and you look at the amount of catches those guys have. Experience-wise, there is not a drop-off. In fact, you probably are as old or even older than a year ago.
And you have to be. You have to be ready. You have to be ready to perform right away, because there is no easing into this schedule, right? Right away, we play what's arguably the top defense in the entire country and one of the best teams in the entire country. So the test comes right away and continues to come as the weeks go by. So having a group that has both experience and talent and young talent is exactly what we felt was needed for this team to take another step forward offensively.
Coach, you hired Corey Heatherman as defensive coordinator right after last year's season. And I had a chance, of course, to watch him in the spring and then again in the fall. Very, very organized, and the defense is responding to his coaching.
They do. He is he's a tough guy. Mm-hmm. He is a detailed guy. Everything is with intention. There's not a wasted second in the day. Just a great, great teacher. So much passion and energy he brings to practice on a daily basis. And he understands that the mother of all learning, man, the repetition. He makes sure that we're getting the right kind of reps against the right kind of looks, and just looking for ways to get better. Detail and preparation.
You went to work also, much like the receiver room, you went to work improving the secondary, brought a bunch of guys in, and I think you have this combination of players and then the philosophy, and your secondary was described as throwing into that thing is like walking in to one of those fun house of mirrors. Everything is distorted. It's going to be really hard for a quarterback.
Well, we feel we've made improvement. It's certainly I never make predictions on a group or whatnot, but we do know that we have improved ourselves significantly. And the more this group plays together, the better they're going to be. They are bigger. They're bigger, longer, and faster athletes, quicker, good foot and body quickness, great hips, willing tacklers. Guys that can play in man coverage, guys that can locate the football, right? Got really good ball skills, can make the contested, jump ball, deflection, or catch. So all in all, I think the competition that's been added there has brought out the best of that group. Where everyone knows, like, hey, it's a you got to play above the line, and then who gets what reps above that line will be dependent on how we perform in practice.
Coach, you had an outstanding tight end room last year, had a number two draft pick out of that room, number 50 overall, I believe it was. You bring back Lofton this year, who was a freshman All-American. You bring in Bauman, and there's a couple freshmen that come in. That room looks like it hasn't missed a beat.
It's really impressive to see the way that they've taken on the task of replacing those guys. They made a decision that they were not going to allow four drop-off. And mind you, to me, Arroyo is one of the better players we've ever had in our short time here. You know, he was excellent. And I think Cam McCormick, they passed on a lot of really good stuff, a lot of good just DNA standards and culture stuff to those guys. And they've taken it and run with it. And they've had a great camp, a great offseason. We expect those guys not to flinch at all.
You mentioned competition. We cannot overlook the fact that you have a new kicker this year. Borregales has moved on, competing with the Patriots, and you have two guys out there that are battling. One is a little more experienced, but how is that shaping up?
It's been competitive, those guys. I think they've benefited tremendously from our operation, our snap and our hold operation, and the techniques that go with it. Fundamentally have helped those guys just continue to get better and has made it a very competitive situation where it's going to go down to the wire to make a decision as to who's going to go out there and kick that ball first. And it's one of those things where if they're both deserving, it'll continue to go like that because it shouldn't be treated like any other position. But we have confidence in both those guys. And from the ranges of all the way to 55 and maybe even a little bit more, they have shown that in practice on a consistent basis.
Coach, you talk about competition at the kicker position, but that's what this whole program is about, competing at every position every single week. Just because someone is the starter week one doesn't mean it'll be week four or week eight or the 12th game of the season. Every day you have to compete.
It's the only way to get the best out of everybody, or the worst where you can move on from somebody, and that's just a harsh reality of football. We have to be at our best, and iron sharpens iron only works if you make it happen in practice.
It is Miami and Notre Dame Hard Rock Stadium to begin the 2025 season. Coach Cristobal, you begin 2025 with a blockbuster matchup. Notre Dame last year played here in the Orange Bowl game, then went on to the national championship game. This is a very big challenge to start the year.
And one that we look forward to. Tremendous opportunity for our program. A tremendous amount of respect for our opponent. They're ranked top 2 to 5 to 10 in every category on offense, defense, or special teams. They return four offensive linemen, which is always a plus, as you know, with what is widely considered the best running back core in the country. But I think what gets overlooked is the caliber of athlete they have at wide receiver and tight end. Those guys down the stretch who watch the playoffs made a ton of plays, big time plays. And they've also bolstered that core with a couple of additions in the portal, guys that have had big time productions. A big-time production at Wisconsin and at Virginia. And on defense, with the hiring of Chris Ash, there's overlap in what he's done at his respective stops. But the success of the program also, makes you lean on, okay, there's going to be some type of blend or maybe some more of what they have been doing already. But as he mentioned in his press conference, they have a slew of riches, a wealth of talent like he hasn't seen, because they've recruited really, really well. So an excellent program, one that our guys are really fired up to prepare for, and the opportunity to play them on Sunday night.
Each year, the team develops its own personality, but last year, the Notre Dame team, positive 18 in giveaway takeaway, number 5 in America. That's a huge number in today's game.
Without a doubt. Over 30 turnovers forced. They led the country in forced fumbles and recovering fumbles. And I think what's really impressive is they led the country in the conversion rate after getting a turnover. And they were, people might say, opportunistic. It's more an opportunist. They were very violent and physical to force those balls out. You see a team play together, a team play really, really hard. They just do a ton of stuff. They can play man coverage. They can play zone. But they have done a great job playing together. And they're big and physical in all their spots.
CJ Carr gets the start, redshirt freshman, but his last significant action really was in a high school game. The grandson of Lloyd Carr, he comes from a football family. How do you prepare? How did you prepare for him? And what do you expect from C.J. Carr?
Well, we expect to see him and possibly more quarterbacks. But you prepare for what they have done systematically, both there, maybe some their coordinator time, but he spent at other places as well. particularly LSU. So you take a deeper dive into, okay, this is what we might get, and how does our system fit in terms of defending what they do. But I think nowadays in football, football's becoming a younger and younger game, if that makes sense, just because guys are training year-round, right? They have personal trainers. They get here early for school, some reclass a year early. They've got OTAs all summer. I mean, the reps are really adding up. So I think what used to be a freshman is now a sophomore plus. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you could exponentially just add on to that as the years go by. So all in all, we certainly don't judge. If he's there playing, just like if a guy's here playing, he's an excellent football player, and we're going to prepare to the best of our abilities.
Coach, their combination in the backfield almost produced 2,000 yards last year, but also tight end. They've got big, strong guys, and it's almost, I want to say, typical Notre Dame tight ends, but they run very well, too.
They run very well. They stay on blocks, and they finish blocks, right? They force arm tackles, and they have very big, strong, physical backs that they don't go down, and they secure the ball really, really well. So it's not only back number one, it's the entire running back core. They do a good job getting them the ball also in the passing game, the form of checkdowns and screens. A very complete offense. They do a really, really good job. You know, we watched them last year just on overlap tape, you know, teams like Louisville, and noticed how creative they were on top of how talented they were.
You can tell Coach Freeman's was a former defensive coordinator. They recruited 20 defensive linemen, so they're really deep at that spot.
They are. They're big and physical guys that are just explosive football players. Like any team, you know, you really want to set the tone up front in the trenches, and certainly they're loaded. They have a lot of high-end talent on both the offense and the defensive lines.
Importance of the home crowd, Coach. That's going to be a big one at Hard Rock. Something special being at home in the opening game and after going undefeated last year at home.
No doubt. Playing at home means the world to us. And I think last year was a great tradition to begin, you know, treating Hard Rock like that, where it was a tough place to play. And our fans, man, this is their opportunity to show exactly what this community, what this university, what the city is feeling, you know, the momentum and the energy of the Miami Hurricane football team, and the opportunity to create just an electric environment on Sunday night.
And wear your orange.
Right. Dress in orange.
Dress in orange. One other note on Notre Dame, these two corners, Gray and Moore, they're really, really good.
High-end NFL caliber talent. They ask those guys to do a lot now. You know, they'll play man coverage, they'll play zone, they'll come on pressure. They're excellent tacklers. They're very opportunistic. I mean, you see one of them chase down a quarterback on a keeper, 45-yard gain, punch the ball out against Louisville. You just see a very talented and well-coached organization.
Has this been fun preparing for a blockbuster game? Really start the season with the Super Bowl. There are a lot of great games on the opening weekend. It's fun. I think perhaps that Miami, college football is way better when Miami's at the top. The Hurricanes are in the mix of all these big games.
Well, I think two things. Number one, you come to Miami to play in monster games, right? But it's also important to note that for us to continue this trajectory that we're on to really become what Miami needs to become, every game has got to be treated like the Super Bowl. Okay, because in college football nowadays, essentially, every game is a playoff game. You're being judged. You're being moved up and down, right, on a grading scale, depending on how you play each and every week. And it's important to note that every single team has got to be treated with the utmost respect and your best preparation to truly become the team you want to become.
Coach, how do you prepare the players that have come to Miami and they may have come from a smaller school or coming out of high school and they're going to have to play in this game, in this environment, week one? There's no nothing. You're not easing into anything.
Yeah, you know, I think, you watch some of the guys that we're recruiting. They'll play in front of 90,000. They'll play in front of two people. They're not fazed by that. We can't recruit guys that have to be acclimating to environments like that, what they're going to be seeing on Sunday and throughout the season. And we were talking about that last night when some of these guys took the field, some of the young guys, and you look at them and like, is that guy going to be phased? I'm like, oh, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think there might be a hiccup here and there, but you know what? That guy's been playing ball since he's been 3 years old, right? Let him go play ball. Let him prepare with detail. Let him prepare with intensity and with discipline, and let him cut it loose on game day.
I imagine conditioning, not only for this game, but the really the beginning of the season, big factor. And for the most part, Mother Nature just threw smoking hot temperatures your way during training camp. Up until this week, we didn't have much rain, but participating in the temperature that you practice in during training camp had to be a real positive for you.
We think it is. You know, day one through day five, it kicks your butt. And you know that. You feel it. You feel like you can't breathe or whatnot. But as time goes on, you realize it is, if done the right way, if players push themselves, because conditioning is really a battle between you and you, right? Yeah. You know how hard you can go, right? And if you take that approach, you're going to put yourself in the best condition. And when you do that, the game slows down for you. The game's a lot of fun. If you're trying to survive the game, that ain't it. And when you're playing great teams, those guys are going to be in great condition too. So always buckle up, be your best every day.
And Coach, let's face it, conditioning basically starts in January. It's not just August where it picks up.
No doubt. It's an accumulation. You know, you start by setting that foundation when you're doing the longer stuff, right? The four, the three, the 200-yard stuff. And you work your way down to the hundreds, the 80s, 60s, 40s, the change direction stuff, the hoops, the cone drills. Then you start doing all the resistance stuff, right? The human resistant drills, the change direction stuff, the reactive drills to get your body, your joints, all that stuff acclimated to being able to go. And then you got to translate that over to practice.
High school football is underway. Just touch on recruiting real fast. You can't mention any names. Locally, there were some big games for the first weekend. So they're kind of copying college football with big games. On a Sunday night, I guess you would have a lot of recruits for this game, right? Even though it's not on a Saturday, I imagine that sideline is going to be filled with a lot of future Hurricanes.
That place will be jammed with everything and everyone, you know? So certainly looking forward to a tremendous opportunity.
And you've been getting out on this recruiting trail relentlessly. The University of Miami name is really resonating now, not only locally, but across the country.
I look at it this way. Our first full class, they are now true juniors, right, or redshirt sophomores. You've seen what our projected classes are right now, both 26, 27, right? Imagine what this roster will continue to look like as the years go by. That was the secret sauce, always was. Had the great opportunity this summer to hang out with Coach Johnson for a little bit. He came by and spoke to the team, and one thing we sat around and talked about a bunch is like, man, we had some great players. You know, make sure you get great players that are great people that will work their butt off for the team, right? And when you have that, a lot of magic happens.
But coaches, what you determine is a great player. It's not what's on the list. The scouting that goes into it and the interviews, the time you spent with the player, that's the key.
Without a doubt, we do not recruit off of lists. We refuse to recruit off of lists. Now, sometimes it matches up. Mm-hmm. A guy we really want happens to be that, but you'd be the examples are, you know, you talked about Inez Cooper earlier, talked about O.J. Frederick. I mean, the examples go on and on and on about guys that had very little or no notoriety and then exploded on the scene because they had those traits. They just weren't, you know, they weren't part of the, you know, the service, you know, scouting system. So we're going to recruit. We're going to recruit hard. We're going to recruit the right guys. And we're just going to keep going, man.
Okay, week one, I think probably when you lead the team out of the tunnel with the smoke and all that, we don't get earthquakes often in South Florida, if ever. But I think we might have an earthquake on Sunday night.
Well, you know what? Again, tremendous opportunity to make that place as loud and as much like an asylum as you can make it. They know that they could certainly have an impact. So looking forward to it.
All right, Coach, week one, thank you very much. The very best of luck.
Go Canes.
That's University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week on the Mario Cristobal Show.